Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Bill, Fast Money starts right now. Live from the Nasdaq market site overlooking New York City's Times Square, I'm Melissa Lear. Traders on the desk are Tim Seymour, David Seberg, Brian Kelly, and Guy Adami. Tonight on Fast, forget about Bitcoin. Its biggest rivals are surging to new highs this week, including Ripple. But if you're not sure what the heck Ripple even is, don't worry. We've got a deep dive. Plus, BK will show you how to buy it. Plus, Netflix is heading to the red carpet with its most Golden Globe nominations ever for its hit shows like Stranger Things and The Crown. What could be a winning night mean for the stock? We've got those details. And later, the big banks with a tepid start to the year, and the Chartmaster sees something in the charts that could spell big trouble ahead. We'll tell you how to profit. But first, we start off with stocks at record highs. The Dow surging more than 200 points, well past 25,000, closing at an all-time high. And one of the best performing Dow stocks this week, Dow DuPont. Behind technology, in fact, material stocks are the second best performing sector in the new year, adding to a strong end to 2017, a sign that the global rally is really catching fire. And this is commodities are rising, the dollar is falling. In fact, one could call it a material world.
Oh, there she is.
Check out some of these moves in the past month. Freeport Mac ran up 41%, Nucor up 18%, CF Industries up 17%, Mosaic up 13%. So is this the beginning of the global reflation trade? If it is, what's the best way to play this move? Tim, you've been all over this.
Well, this is an extension of the global reflation trade because, again, this really started in March of 2016, and you kind of had a double bottom for a lot of these assets. Then some of them back in December after we kind of got through the elections and people questioned. You certainly got it for emerging markets. The places I think you can still play, there's a little bit of a back to the future. We're getting some old Madonna tunes. Why not, you know, some Huey Lewis? But I think if you look at Brazil, look at the move we've seen in Vale. Look at the move we've seen in Petrobras. These are companies that are run a little different. A lot of people are getting overweight Brazil again. And I do think in the case, especially of Petrobras, this is a slightly different company than the one you invested in. And in the case of Vale, look at what's going on with coke and coal prices, which are a major component to steel. Steel prices right now are rising for, I think, both the right reasons and because of the political kind of anxiety that's going on. We're definitely pushing back on China, who's been sending steel to Vietnam, getting it retagged and sending it over here. That's not happening. We're also seeing actually China shopping around the world for higher grade steel to show that there really is demand and they're not cutting off. I think ag has lagged, and I do think that that's a very good trade. I'm long Mosaic. In fact, I'm long all of those names other than Nucor, and I still own U.S. Steel.
Guy.
Since this is, first of all, I thought that was Cindy Lauper, but
come
since
on,
this
you
is
know
an 80s, no, I knew it was Madonna. But since it's an 80s theme, I mean, Tim's got rocking the 1988 vest right there. Look at that thing.
Got to get back
that
in time.
That is a good look.
No singing.
But kudos to Tim. Listen, Tim power pitched you at power pitch?
Yes.
Yeah, that too. In U.S. Steel earlier this year, I think the stock was trading in the high teens. Look at it now, and you'll say maybe it's run out of gas, and there's
the
flame.
You know what? It is extra chilly here on the East Coast, folks. I hope, hopefully, a sweater vest just puts a little warmth in your living room.
But you say what you want about President Trump. One thing he's, you know, he talked about the steel industry. They brought Wilbur Ross in. There was about a three-month lag, but these stocks, since Mr. Ross has gotten in, have been off to the races. I still think there's room to the upside in U.S. Steel, reported at the end of the month. Big short interest in the name. Wouldn't be surprised if it traded to and took out the highs we saw in 2014. And David is here, and I say this. I'm not asking you to comment on this, but Cowen upgraded this stock about a month and a half, 2 months ago, from underperform to market perform. It's just a matter of time before more analysts have to get outperform on this.
Guy's got a memory like a steel trap. Your memory's incredible.
No,
like, you're right. And I say you stick with the steel names. I think the steel names continue to work. STLD, I prefer over letter
steel
S.
Dynamics.
I think Steel Dynamics actually is the name, although a very, very crowded trade. I mean, this has been really the darling of the space. These names tend to overshoot, you know, on positive sort of momentum and undershoot on negative momentum. But there could be another 25 to 30% move higher in some of these steel names. So
wow.
I think you stay with the steel names until the narrative changes. Don't forget,
that's
China.
That's a lot of runway.
China is curbing. China's curbing.
Still.
They're going at this environmental.
That much
That seems pretty aggressive. 25 to 30%.
Here's what I'll say.
More?
I don't think you take your foot off the accelerator on steel names at all until the narrative changes. And right now,
Well,
again,
I agree
they overshoot.
With that. I don't know if it gets 25 or 30%. I would prefer to Tim. He's had the hot hand so hot that he had to rip his sleeves off. So, you know, that's what I would go with.
Can
there.
We get a show of that fireplace again? Right because there. I think people are cold in America right now.
You can't be that hot and have sleeves. That's all I know.
Yeah, well, you're right. The one thing I say, and I say it a lot, is I think you buy commodities when they're running. This is partly David's point. The thing that's interesting here is at the highs, people are very, very chilly and warming by the fire. But also, you know, it's amazing how people have been able to change their views because of price action. And right. I know that right. it's not because of price action, but it's very clear we're seeing upgrades by analysts that we're downgrading at the lows. And I think you need to be careful. I think you need to trade some of these things aggressively because I think you get plenty of opportunities to get back in.
Aggressively meaning on a run?
Well, for example. Example, I traded out of Cliffs today, CLF, which is a position I've been trading back and forth. This may be a breakout level, and I may be very, you know, frustrated that I traded out of it. But although I've been trading it between 650 and 775, we cleared through that, and I think you fade a little bit. I think I'll get it back.
The whole reignition, though, the reflation trade, that reflects what's going on globally here, right?
Yes.
There's more
right.
of an
look at the industrials,
right
the PMIs, manufacturing.
Yeah, right. But also remember, we have the potential for infrastructure spending coming in this country. Mm-hmm. So you can even broaden that out and look at what's happening with John Deere or right. look what's happening with Cat Tractor. Those are other ways to play this, and I still think those have room to run. But
the steel names, also the pollution control sort of constraints that they've put on there to sort of like rein in it a little bit, the higher quality steel, which Tim talked about, them going after, you look at it and say the pricing has just increased dramatically. LNG, look at LNG. If the coal consumption or coal burn starts to degrade, LNG could be actually the play to look at here from the standpoint of taking advantage of, because gas will be what they'll use to heat.
I have a question here at this point in the conversation,
okay.
right? Because we've been... Not we, but there's been a great focus on technology and the run the technology has had in this very young new year. Mm-hmm. Best performing sector. It's up, 4% or so on the NASDAQ? Mm-hmm. Right here, right now, technology or materials?
So you're playing, would you rather, but you masked it in a, I've got a question.
Yeah, I do have a question. Would you rather?
Right. materials or technology? Mm. In that broader scope, materials would be my answer, Melissa Lee.
Really?
Yeah, well, yes, yeah. because technology is a very wide swath, and there's some troubling stories as well as good stories. Materials seem to have tailwind right now.
Embedded in that answer, is it a belief that there will be somewhat of a rotation out of technology or even a trimming of positions just because that position may have gotten so big in one's portfolio?
I think that analysts, to Tim's point, I think that analysts are behind the curve in terms of materials. They're going to have to catch up. I think in tech, they're already on the curve.
But also remember, if you are getting global reflation, which this trade is, then rates are going higher, which could hurt some of the high PE stocks, which tech would be.
I have a question for you.
Hi, Mel.
Since
you're also wearing
I believe
we have a special thing going on.
A question for you.
Sure.
Materials or emerging markets?
Oh.
Right. In many cases, you had difficulty extracting the two. I'd probably say emerging markets. And I think, again, you're going to get an opportunity to trade some of the stuff. There's a good part of my position that I traded. In fact, I sold some EEM today at an 83 RSI at the top end of a channel. By the way, a channel on the EEM that goes all the way back to where we built this rally, December 22nd of 2016. You've
right.
been able to trade that range. But EM, I think, is the largest beneficiary. I think EM banks are one of the most interesting places to be.
Let's talk about our day now. What did you do today?
EEM, sticking with that trade, I think EEM for the very short period, if you compare materials, I would prefer to own EEM longer term. So for the next quarter or so, maybe two quarters, I think materials for the near term, for the next several weeks, you stick with the material trade. But I add it to the EEM trade.
Okay, I was waiting for the answer to my question. How about you? What did you do?
Well, so my final trade last night was EWZ, and that's where I put my money where my mouth is. And that, again, goes into your emerging markets, goes into your materials trade in a sense. I actually think I like these a little bit better than I do the materials, only because they've been somewhat beaten down relative to the materials. So I think there's a better opportunity with, like, Brazil or the emerging market type of thing.
Continue to beat the drum quickly. Look at the move in Boeing today after the move that it's had. I mean, that stock was up, I think, $12. Now, granted, now it's a $300 stock. That's not as big as it used to be, but this stock has been basically going one way along with the rest of the industrials. So to the materials. I think you still have the industrials working for you as well.
And outside of what you do with Cliffs?
Yeah, I've been slowly adding to Cemex. I've been slowly adding to Mosaic. I've been slowly adding to BHP, kind of Rio Tinto. These are diversified miners. Brian brought up Brazil. By the way, that index used to be all about Petrobras and Vale. Now the heaviest weights are Banco Itaú and Banco Bradesco, so ITUB and BBD. So they've changed their colors a little bit over there.
All right, coming up, it's the Ripple effect. One of the largest cryptocurrencies out there is surging this week. So what is it? How do you buy it? Brian Kelly will break it all down next. Plus, it's the Olympics of Healthcare. The largest conference of the year kicks off on Monday, and there are three stocks you need to know about right now going into it. We'll tell you what they are. And later, Netflix goes Hollywood this weekend at the Golden Globes, going in with a record 9 nominations. Could a big win send the stock soaring? We've got all those details. Much more Fast Money right after this break. Welcome back to Fast Money. The crypto craze continues as some of Bitcoin's biggest rivals like Ripple and Ethereum are surging and gaining on the crypto king. You might call it the Ripple effect. That is right. And ta-da, we've now got the Ripple bug. You can see it right there and track the price in the left corner of your TV screen. But wait, what is Ripple? CNBC's Seema Modi joins us now to explain. Seema.
Hi, Melissa. All right, Ripple has literally been ripping higher, up 40,000% in the last 12 months, ranking second to Bitcoin in terms of market cap among the cryptos. At $117 billion, Ripple has a larger market cap than 43 companies on the S&P 500. Big names like Goldman Sachs, Nike, Netflix, and even the largest private company, Uber. Ripple is building a payments platform for major banks, and it's already got a consortium of banks in Japan testing out its network. Other users include Bank of America and Spain's Banco Santander. And earlier today, the company tweeting out that three of the top five global money transfer companies plan to use XRP, Ripple's product, in payment flows in 2018. Now, Michael Morrow, CEO of Genesis Global Trading, telling me he's seen a lot of interest just this week from institutional investors, close to $100 million in 3 days in Ripple volume, though most of the demand has been driven by South Korea, which makes up about 30% of Ripple's transactional volume. While Ripple has benefited from the hype and overall interest surrounding Bitcoin, there are some differences. Unlike Bitcoin, which is open source and supported by a global community, Ripple lives on a centralized network and is managed by a team in California that is led by a former Yahoo executive named Brad Garlinghouse. The price is also a major difference. Bitcoin around $16,000, Ripple just below $3. Back to you, Melissa.
All right. Thank you very much, Seema Modi. So is Ripple the next big breakout coin? And if so, how do you even buy it? Well, fear not, because our very own crypto baller, BK, is here to tell us exactly how to do just that. BK.
Yeah, sure. So Ripple has been on an absolute tear. And just to add to what Seema talked about, what Ripple really is going after is the SWIFT network or international payment transfer. So what you're talking about here is an upgrade of the international financial system. And that's a very big market. So that's why people are very excited about it. So let's go to Poloniex and figure out how do we buy this here. So here I am. I'm on the Poloniex website. You can see over on this side, here's all the trades that are going on. Remember, cryptocurrencies trade 24/7. This market never sleeps. Okay, so here we have Ripple. You can see these big moves. Now let's scroll down to the order page, okay? So you can see I can buy Ripple. I can sell Ripple. Here's all my buy orders right down here. Here's all my sell orders. They're a little bit backwards for you old school market folks. It's going to drive you crazy like it drives BK, but you know what? Still doesn't matter. Here we go. So up here, you can see I've got some BTC up there. I need Bitcoin to buy Ripple. All I'd have to do is I click on the price that I want to buy. I want to buy it right there. It fills it in. Looks like I'm going to buy about 3 BTC worth of Ripple. And really simply, all I do, hit the buy button. Boom. Look it. I bought all that Ripple. That's how easy and fast it is. And if you notice before, I didn't have any Ripple there. Now I do. So now I have about 24,000 Ripple. It's that simple. It's that easy to get into this. And for me, you know, Ripple is one of those core protocols that'll likely be a big part of the digital economy.
Yeah, I mean, Seema mentioned Brad Garlinghouse, but Zoe Cruz, formerly of Morgan Stanley, is also recently added to the board of Ripple. And obviously, she was a long time at Morgan Stanley, I think 25 years or so. I have a question, though. Mm-hmm. People are more familiar with Coinbase and how that works. They transfer money into Coinbase, then buy a cryptocurrency. Here, you're buying it in Bitcoin. So you have to do that transaction first, transfer the Bitcoin to this, and then buy Ripple, right?
That's right. So on the Poloniex website, they don't take U.S. dollar transactions. So you do. You go to Coinbase first, you buy your Bitcoin. Then you'll have a wallet here on Poloniex once you've opened that account up, and then they'll give you, you'll get a Bitcoin address. You send your Bitcoin there. Once you have Bitcoin, you can buy anything. And as I scrolled up, I mean, look at how many currencies are out there. Those are all the top ones, and they're trading real volume. I mean, that's 31,000 Bitcoin. That's a lot of money that's trading in Ripple today.
BK, it's Tim. So do you think there's an opportunity to actually arb between these exchanges? I mean, let's be clear about crypto traders is they love trading and they love actually some of the inefficiencies of these markets for this very reason. Is that a possibility?
It is a possibility. It's a little clunky, though. Part of the reason why some of this arbitrage exists is because there are different regulatory environments. For example, if you're in South Korea, it's almost impossible to get money out of South Korea because of the capital controls. So sometimes you'll see that global cross-border arb open up. It's difficult to do. Within exchange or within the U.S. exchanges, let's say you're going Coinbase, Poloniex, or something like that, sometimes there is a chance to do that. But you also have to recognize it also takes a bit to move these things around. Sometimes the exchanges can take an hour or longer to move between coins.
Are you talking, Tim, about ARB within Ripple or ARB, like, cross?
I'm talking about having three exchanges open at once and transacting in one and selling in the other because you've effectively locked in a price. And you can actually see price discrepancies. And you do see this, especially because the settlement times also you have an opportunity to work within that as well.
The best way to do it is to have Bitcoin and, let's say, Ripple at each one of those exchanges.
Yep.
And so that way you don't have to worry about changing between and you just play that ARB all day long.
BK, could you explain to us home gamers like myself, why are they linking themselves to Bitcoin? Why can't you transact in U.S. dollars? Why Bitcoin only?
Because if you want a transaction in U.S. dollars, you have to have a money service license, and you have to go to every single banking regulator in the U.S., so you have to go to 50 different banking regulators if you want to actually take U.S. dollars. So in this case, Poloniex chose not to do that, so they're simply transacting in Bitcoin. Maybe at some point in time they choose to do that.
Hey, BK, it's Seabrook question. You know, the bigger issue here, I think the big bear case on Ripple has always been that it's not like other coins. It's not created or mined, essentially. There's a certain amount. There's 100 billion, I think they started with, 30 billion in circulation. So it's company controlled. They can essentially issue or put more coins into the marketplace, which would create dilution. Is that a big concern? Is something you're really worried about?
Well, it has been a big concern. You're right. Ripple's somewhat controversial here in the decentralized world because Ripple is a centralized currency. It was pre-mined 100% by the Ripple company. Now, what they've done to alleviate a lot of those fears is they've locked up a lot of the Ripple that they own, and they're going to slowly meter it out over the next several years. So that has alleviated some of the concern. That being said, purist, decentralized coin people don't necessarily like what Ripple's done. I happen to like the fact that they have several banks using it, and they have a company that is out there trying to make the value of the currency go higher.
Last quick question. We saw the run in Ripple on the notion that it would be added to Coinbase, and Coinbase put out the blog saying, no, it's not going to be added. It fell today. What's your guess on whether or not it will be added and what the next currency will be added to Coinbase?
So in the long run, I think Ripple gets added to Coinbase. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a while, though, 6 months plus.
Really? Okay. Beeks, thanks for the explainer. Answered a lot of questions tonight.
Very interesting.
Still ahead, the big banks moving lower today despite the record rally, and the chart master sees something in the charts that could mean big trouble ahead.
Oh.
I'm Melissa Lee. You're watching Fast Money on CNBC, first in business worldwide. In the meantime, here's what else is coming up on Fast.
Bitcoin is on fire again, and it's driving big bets in the options market on one Bitcoin stock in particular. We'll give you the name and tell you how to profit. Plus,
you like me right now.
Fast is going Hollywood in search of Golden Globe glory and the one stock that might get a boost from this weekend's awards. We'll give you the name when Fast Money returns.
Welcome back to Fast Money. The highly anticipated Golden Globe Awards are this Sunday, and streaming giants are going head-to-head with traditional studios for award season dominance. Julia Borson's in Los Angeles with more. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Melissa. Well, HBO always dominates the TV category at the Globes, but this year, Netflix is making gains as its $6 billion investment in content last year pays off. It has a record 12 nominations, including two each for the film Mudbound and two each for shows The Crown, Stranger Things, and Master of None. Now, that's up from the five nominations that Netflix drew last year. Streaming competitors Amazon and Hulu each have drawn three nominations. Now, Netflix's nine TV nominations put it second only to HBO, which maintains its lead with 12, including six for Big Little Lies. But HBO could face even more competition as Netflix ramps up its content spending to as much as $8 billion this year, with the goal of hitting 50% original content by the end of 2018. And Netflix is investing more in premium content, the stock gaining about 2% today after Netflix announced David Letterman's new series called My Guest Needs No Introduction, which will debut on January 12th, announcing Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, as well as Jay-Z and George Clooney, among other big name guests. The company also announcing this morning that filmmaker Matt Reeves, known as director of two Planet of the Apes movies, as well as Cloverfield, is signing an exclusive multi-year deal with the company. Now, Netflix certainly isn't entirely focused on critical acclaim. It just greenlit a sequel to its big-budget movie Bright, this despite the fact that it was absolutely slammed by critics with a just 28% critics rating on Rotten Tomatoes. But awards acclaim certainly can help draw attention to shows and even potentially some new subscribers for Netflix. Melissa?
All right, Julia, thank you. Julia Borson in Los Angeles. Seberg, what do you think for Netflix?
Look, I'm very bullish on Netflix. I have been very bullish, I should say, on Netflix. Right here, like, I will say, my tune isn't changing, but I'd say it's much more difficult to find the incremental buyer right now in the stock on the institutional side. So seeing new institutional money roll into Netflix,
that sounds like it's a getting change of tune.
Well,
that
it's a change.
Like
a here's what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to have a great quarter. I think if you look at sort of the season, the holiday season, what's been selling, Roku sales. I mean, everything really suggests that they could have new subscriptions sort of ramp a little bit. So I think Q4 is going to be really solid. I think the stock will rip there, but I think earnings, when you look at earnings projections out to 2019 through 2020, there's a concern about the hockey stick effect. I think there's going to be more spend. Earnings could be impacted. I don't know if investors love that.
Well, speaking of the Golden Globe Awards, in honor of the big night in Hollywood, our traders have picked four names that they say are award-winning stocks. Tim, with the vest, kick it off.
The award-winning stocks.
Lionsgate, maybe.
Look, we have Michael Burns on all the time. Lionsgate is excelling on the TV side of their business. Their deal with Starz, I think, extracts enormous amount of value. I think it's an undervalued stock. It's a volatile stock, but I think in terms of content, these guys are king.
Go back to the fire.
It's Friday.
Mine's Baba.
Okay.
I think China e-commerce growth is off the charts.
PK?
I'm going to bring you back to old-time TV. Circle gets the square. I like SQ.
Oh. Zions will get you done. Big O-A coming up, Mel.
Big one. That does it for us here on Fast. See you back here Monday at 5. Man. Don't go anywhere. O-A starts right after this break.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.